Good to see. Some things never change. Amen. All right. Amen. Some things never change, Brother Lapina. Thank you. It's good to be back here. Lots of wonderful memories here. I love this place. I thank God for this college. I found my beautiful wife here, as I mentioned, and lots of great memories in this place. Lots of life-changing messages I heard in this very building over the course of 3 years that I was a student here. And it's great to see Brother Collins, Brother Lutz, and I appreciate what's happening here. I sure do love Brother Wilkerson. Boy, I thank God that he's the pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond. And Brother Abdel Jude and I have become very good friends. And it is just a special day. I feel led to do these things when I get the opportunity to preach. In our midst today, we have some just greatness examples, great examples of faithfulness. You know, I'm all about fruitfulness, but the Bible says God promises to bless faithfulness. Fruitfulness is a result of faithfulness, but God always promises to bless faithfulness. And so we have Brother Eddie here. How many years have you been in the ministry? 40 years in the ministry. I'm 43 years old. So he started when I was 3 years old. Not to make you feel old, Brother Eddie, but that's just praise the Lord for that. And then my mother-in-law is in the house. She just landed in O'Hare this morning. And was that your first Uber experience this morning? My mother-in-law rode by Uber down here to the college. And could the driver speak English? Just kidding. All right, but anyway, so my mother-in-law is in the building today. And she's been faithful to the same church for almost 50 years, married for 54 years soon. And she came all the way from Pennsylvania to be in chapel this morning, so glad to have her. And then the man I'm preaching for this week is one of my heroes and one of Chicagoland's best-kept secrets. Pastor Bill Clark is sitting back there. Pastor Clark, I know you hate this, but I'm going to ask you to please stand just briefly. Pastor Bill Clark, if you don't mind standing, this man's one of my heroes, and I mean that. This man has pastored the same church for 47 years, and it's less than 45 minutes from here. I don't know about you, but if I was a young preacher boy wanting to pastor, I would go visit this man at least one time before I graduate and pick his brain, because he's legend. 47 years of the same church, one of the most giving churches when it comes to missions. They give hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to missions. They've sent out millions of tracts. They sent out 91,000 tracts last year alone out of their church to go global. And just an incredible man of God. Pastor Clark, I love you. 2 years ago, we got to honor him for his 45th. He is my hero. And young men, you ought to get around a man like him and pick his brain. Again, he's only 40, 45 minutes from here. First Baptist Church, Bridgeview, Illinois. An easy drive. You can get over there. Well, there's no such thing as an easy drive in this area. But anyway, I just had to say that. And then he brought a guest with him today. And I'd like to introduce him real quick. I hope you don't mind. I don't preach real long, so we're good on time. Is Brother Cornelius there? Brother Cornelius, why don't you stand up real quickly and say hi to everybody? I met Brother Cornelius several years ago. He goes to Pastor Clark's church. And Brother Cornelius is a Romanian, and so if you know of missionaries in Romania, he'd like to meet you and say hi to you after services, because he goes back every year. He actually has preached in Romania, and if you're called to the country of Romania, there might be a good chance in this crowd there's somebody called to Romania. He can help you with that, and he got saved when it was under communist regime still, and he knows what it's like to live under communism. And he was there when the wall fell, and he has since come to America. He and his wife live here, faithfully attend Pastor Clark's church. And it's just a blessing to have so many people that have been faithful for a long time, and I'm grateful for that. Let's go to Psalm 145. For those of you that do not know why I was up here signing, I do always like to give the deaf a little shout-out, because it's a great need. As it's last we heard, there's 350 million deaf people on this planet, and only 2% of them are saved. And they are the third most unreached people group in the world, and the number one most unreached people group in America. And we had the privilege of preaching a small deaf revival this past Saturday up in the downtown, right up there by Wrigley Field in Chicago. And a deaf lady got assurance of salvation, and a deaf adult man got saved. And I don't know if you know this, but for one deaf person to get saved, that's equivalent as far as manpower, the hours it takes, the education, the training. That's equal to 1,000 hearing people getting saved. So it's a big deal when a deaf person gets saved. And so I always like to throw that out there. Those of you who want to be pastors, never forget the deaf. I know it's not an easy ministry. Not everybody's called to them. Nobody able to work with them. But at least pray for them. And the reason I know sign language is I grew up in a home with deaf parents. Many of you are familiar with my testimony. But I do want to take just a moment and say my mom and dad are deaf. My sister's deaf. Grandparents are deaf. Great-grandparents are deaf. My niece is deaf. 5 generations of deafness. We even had a deaf dog growing up. And he knew more sign language than Brother Lapina knows. And but anyway... He got hit by a car because he didn't hear the horn blowing. It was a tragedy. So, how many animal lovers do we have in here? Go ahead. Let's find out who you are. I love animals, too, right next to my mashed potatoes and green beans. Can I get an amen right there? So, I knew I'd get that response here. I just knew I'd get that response here. So, all right. Psalm 145. Let's stand together one more time in honor of God's word and read a few verses here. This is the message the Lord laid in my heart to share with you this morning. It's a very uplifting, optimistic, encouraging message. And I appreciate this college so much. I'm excited about what I see before me. Let me tell you something, young people, dream big because God is big. When I sat in these chairs back 20 plus years ago, I never dreamed God would let me do what I do. And I'm so grateful and humble today at what God has done. If you just give your life to God and you stay out of the way, he'll take you places you never dreamed you'd go and let you do things you never dreamed you'd do. From May until the middle of August, I slept in my own bed two Monday nights because the Lord allowed me to travel and preach at camps and conferences all summer. And I say that with such a grateful, humble spirit because I cannot believe God would allow me to do that. In fact, how many of you have I met somewhere at a camp or a conference somewhere across the country? I always like to raise your hand. That's almost half the crowd, it looks like. I mean, so praise the Lord. I appreciate so much the opportunity. Hey, dream big because God is big. And tell your neighbor, dream big. Now, come on, that was weak. Tell your neighbor, dream big. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here. Tell your other neighbor, I'm glad you're here. Your other neighbor. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad I don't look like you. Amen. All right. Psalm 145, verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 145, verse 1. It says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will. I want you to say the next word with me. Ready? Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Bless. Say it again. Bless. Let's go and say the next three words. Bless thy name. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Father, help us this morning. Help us to see how worthy you are of praise and honor and glory. Thank you so much for the faithfulness of this place and the years, the impact it's made, not just in America, but globally. Lord, I thank you for these young men and young ladies that sit here before me. Lord, I'm just grateful that we all get to serve the Jesus Christ who saved our soul. Help us to never get over salvation. Lord, if somebody's not saved today, save that precious soul. And Lord, do a great work in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to get right in the message for today. I love David. I love studying his life. David was a man after God's own heart. What a title. What a title. There's several titles in the Bible that are just really just pop and stand out. And Moses was called the meekest man in the land. And Abraham in the book of James is called the capital F friend of God. But to be called a man after God's own heart, come on now, man, how do you beat that? What a testimony. And David messed up. In fact, he didn't just mess up. He sinned wickedly. He failed God in a very, very sad, tragic way, and he paid the price for it. But for God to still call him, even hundreds and hundreds of years later in the book of Acts, a man after God's own heart, there's something I want to learn from this man that I can apply to my life so I might even get close to that title. What a title. To be called a man after God's own heart. In fact, if you study your Bibles, nobody else in the Bible ever is called a man after God's own heart except David. Now, there's many reasons why we could say that, but today I want to present to you a different thought. I think we live in a very self-centered society today, and David challenged that norm. For example, it is a common thing in America to say the phrase, God bless. We say it all the time. We say it as a salutation. We say it in greeting. We say it when someone sneezes. We say it. Even politicians who have no inclination or any evidence at all of living for God will say, God bless America. And they'll say, God bless, God bless. But David teaches us something different in this passage that challenges us to take those two beautiful words, God bless, and switch them around. And he says, hey, why don't we just bless God for a while? You see, one thing I've learned about driving in Chicago is Chicago has a whole lot of one-way streets. And my wife hates it when we're driving close by one-way streets because many times I will accidentally forget to see the one-way sign. And when you drive a big Ford Expedition like me, people get out of your way. Somebody say amen right there. I drive a big SUV because I got a big family and I like to make the liberals mad. Somebody say amen right there too. But anyway, so we'll drive down these one-way streets sometimes. And listen, most of Christian life is a one-way street. We live in a God-blessed society and a God-blessed mentality where our hands are always like this out expecting something from God. But sometimes as Christians, we got to take our hands, turn it around, destroy the one-way sign and make it a two-way street and say, God, you've been so good to us. But today, instead of God bless, we want to bless God. So I'm going to challenge this campus to become a bless God campus, a bless God college. I want to see you walking up and down the hallways and saying bless God. Why? Because David's attitude was this. I will never bless God as much as he's blessed me, but God has been so good to me, I sure can try. You see, when David killed Goliath, he had no idea when he woke up that morning he was going to kill a giant. He was just minding his daddy. His daddy said, take some food down to your brothers. And when he arrived upon the battle scene, he saw a giant out there defying the armies of the living God. And David said, hold on a second. He said, you know what? This bothers me. And not because David was worried about what anybody thought of him. In fact, he even stands up to his brothers a little bit there in 1 Samuel 17. But what David actually showed us in that chapter is he was more concerned about God's reputation than he was his own reputation. We live in a Christian society today where it's become all about us. What can the church do for me? I haven't had my needs met. We need to get back to a generation where we realize it's not about us. It's about others, and it's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we can learn from David that it's not just a God bless Christianity, we ought to make it a God bless and bless God Christianity. My oldest daughter's 19 years old, and I'll never forget, it was about 20 plus years ago. This time we found out we were expecting our first child. And boy, we were so excited. You know, how many of y'all are firstborn children? Firstborn children in the building today, firstborn. I'm a firstborn child. We are special people. Can I get an amen right there? It's our job to help our parents raise the siblings. Now, who's the babies here? Babies, God help us. Oh, the babies always say, Mom and Dad stopped after us because we were the perfect child. No, they stopped after you because you ruined everything. Somebody say amen right there. How many are second, third, fourth, fifth born children in the building? All right, there'll be a special clinic for you after chapel today to counsel you. I know you can't be as good as the firstborns, but thank God. Help me now, firstborns. Come on, give me a shout out right there, amen. And by the way, you ever thought about this, Brother Eddie? When that firstborn child's born, man, you'll learn this when you get married and have kids. That kid will sneeze. You'll rush them to the emergency room. You take 500 pictures a day. By the time baby four comes along, she's out playing naked in the snow, coughing up with pneumonia. And you're like, she'll be okay. Somebody say amen right there. You only take one picture a year at Christmas. Somebody say amen right there. There's a lot of things that change as the kids come along. And I love all four of them equally, but I happen to be firstborn. But I'll never forget it. Stay with me now, young people. Don't miss this truth here I'm going to share with you. I didn't get saved until I was 18 years old. I was an all-state, all-star, all-champion football player. I played public high school football, played 1 year of college ball. So may I say to you today, and I admit this ashamedly, I did not listen to the right kind of music before I got saved. And let me just say this right now. You better listen to the right kind of music while you're in college. Yeah, I rode with some guys back when I was in college here, Brother Lapina, and they turned on the wrong music, and I had to tell them, yeah, I'm not going to ride in this car with you if you're listening to the wrong kind of music. It's those little things you do that make a difference down the road. Help me now. But I remember we were so excited. We were going to have this child, and boy, we painted a new bedroom, and we got excited about it, and we got a crib, and we told our sphere of influence. We told my in-laws and told my parents, and at the time, our church was a whole lot smaller than it is today, and we announced it, and we were so excited about it. And the day came, and she was born, and we brought her home, and I couldn't believe it. I was finally a father, and boy, what an amazing experience it was, and how exciting it was. And literally, it became a one-way street, my wife especially, one-way street. We made sure she was warm when it was cold, and cool when it was hot, and her belly was full, and she had a clean diaper on, and her sleeping quarters were comfortable. I mean, our whole life revolved around that little baby. Then one day they finally start to speak, or in my home they start to sign, which is really neat, and they finally start to say things like, I love you, and I love you, and I care about you. And you start to see that the relationship goes from just a one-way street to a two-way street. I'll never forget it. One time my oldest girl was about 2.5 years old. We were walking through a store. And I hate to admit this, but it's a true story. A song came over the speaker that I had remembered from my lost days. And by the way, young people, if you don't think music's powerful, let me tell you a testimony right now. I cannot hear a song for 20 years and all of a sudden hear it at a restaurant and the lyrics are still there. Help me now. Everybody okay? And I'll never forget, I was walking down, and immediately we've been teaching her up to that point that there's bad music and good music. And this pastor daddy, supposed to be spiritual hero of her life, started to sing along with that song. And my daughter, as best as she knew how, looked up to me and said, Daddy, bad music. And I felt this big. So I got home that night, Brother Lapina, and I sat down with my wife, or my daughter, and I as best as I could explain to a 2.5-year-old girl, I said, Daddy, so sorry I didn't get saved. I was 8 later in life, and that's no excuse, and please forgive me, da-da-da-da-da. Brother Collins, a few weeks passed, and I'm preaching at a missions conference in the St. Louis area, and my kids love to go to the altar with me. I preach first, another preacher preach second. I come to the altar and start praying, and my daughter comes up with me right next to me, and I prayed for the man. I said, baby, you want to pray? She goes, yeah, daddy, I want to pray. I said, go ahead. She goes, dear God, help my daddy with his bad music. Amen. Now I felt this big, and I slithered back to the seat where I was at. And on my way back there, God spoke to my heart and said, Randy, for 2.5 years, you have shown nothing but concern for her. But for the first time, she showed genuine concern for you. You see, it officially became a two-way street. Now, by the way, let me just say today, you will never have to be concerned about God and music. But may I say to you today, the Christian life is not about you and it's not about me. I said it's not about you and it's not about me. I said it's not about you and it's not about me. The Christian life is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then after him, it's about somebody else besides yourself. And bless God, Christians will learn that, and they'll realize that the more we bless God and the more we appreciate how God blesses us, it'll change our outlook on life. It'll challenge us to help people. It'll make us want to do more for others. And David was a man who was called a man after God's own heart, because David didn't just live on God Bless One-Way Street Boulevard. He lived on God Bless and Bless God Avenue. Somebody say amen right there. And may I say to you today, I will never bless God as much as he blesses me. He can bless me a million things today, and I might get him one or two times, but bless God, I can try to bless him. Why? Because God's been so good to me, and God's been so good to you. It's time to bless God. So for these next 15 minutes or so, I want to preach on the simple thought of bless God. It's like this. Every once in a while, I'll be coming home from the office, Brother Pina, and I'll call my wife and say, babe, have you started cooking? No, I haven't. Oh, don't cook tonight. Me and the kids are going to take you out. You don't have to cook. We're going to take you out, and we're going to feed you at a restaurant, so you don't have to do dishes tonight. And so, hey, for these next 15 minutes or so, let's take God out to eat for a little while. He's been so good to us. He's prepared us daily meals. He's blessed us beyond measure. He daily loaded us with benefits. So today, for just a little while, God, we want to roll the red-eyed carpet out for you. We want to be a blessing to you. You've been so good to us, and we want to bless God for a little while. Let me give you three quick things on why we should bless God. One more statement. Number one, I bless God today for who he is. I bless God for who he is. Look at Psalm 145. Come on now. It says, I will extol thee, my God. We're talking about God. Oh, King. We're talking about a king. Look at verse number 8. The Lord. Look at verse number 9. The Lord. Look at verse number 14. The Lord. Look at verse number 17. The Lord. Verse 18. The Lord. Verse 20. The Lord. What are you saying, Brother Andy? I'm saying in those 21 short verses, you keep being reminded of who he is tonight. May I say to you tonight that we serve the living God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we've got to quit being impressed by his creations more than the Creator. The NBA started last night. And I know some of y'all like Stephanie Curry, but God help Stephanie Curry. Stephanie Curry. Yeah, I said Stephanie Curry. I took my son to the OKC Thunder game last April for his 13th birthday, and Stephanie couldn't play because she was hurt again. But my son and I were watching the basketball game, and I know we got some NBA fans in here and sports fans, and I love sports with the next guy. I'm a diehard Florida Gators fan, and I love college football, and I love all the sports. But can I tell you something? We live in a generation now where we get more impressed with people who can do things we can't do. Y'all feel me now? Come on now. How many of y'all smell what I'm stepping in? Help me now. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Here's a guy, he puts on silk pajamas, picks up a leather ball, puts it in a garbage can 10 feet high. You're amazing. Here's $20 million. Help me now. Here's a guy over here. Boy, he puts on tight pants and shoulder pads, deflates footballs. Deflates footballs. Throws them across the field. We say, you're amazing. Here's $20 million. Or here's my favorite of them all. You are so amazing at being fake. You are the fakest, phoniest person. You read a script. We call you actors and actresses. Here's $20 million. Help me now. Let me tell you something tonight. We ought not be impressed by the creations of God, but by who he is today. May I remind you that he is our Savior. He is God. He is Lord. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the King of Kings. He's my Redeemer. He's my everything today. And hey, sometimes we ought to just bless him for who he is. Hallelujah. I bless him for who he is today. Number two, I bless him for what he does. I bless him for what he does. Look at Psalm 145. Let me real quick again. I love this stuff. Look at verse 2. Every day I will bless. Will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Look at this. Look at verse 3. Come on. Here we go. Here we go. It's going to get good. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and great his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy. Next word. Say it again. Works to another and shall declare thy mighty what? Look at verse number 5. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wonders. What? What? May I remind you today that God is a God that does some amazing things. I mean, he's a God that is never limited. He's all powerful. He could part the Red Sea, as the Bible teaches us. He could walk on water. He could create this universe. He could speak and the stars would all of a sudden come on in the sky. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who also does things for us. I'm telling you, he was a miracle working God for those gospels. Those 3.5 years he was here on this earth, the gospel said we couldn't even contain all the things he did, because God's a busy God. He's a what can I do for you God. That's why I'm preaching about that thought today. Don't misunderstand me today. I'm not saying God stop blessing me. I like his blessings, and I'm sure you do too. I'm simply saying I bless God today for who he is and for what he does. Listen, he's been so good to me. He gave me my wife. He gave me my children. He's given me my church. He called me to preach. But most of all, can I take you to a place, and everybody better remember this place, the day when God came to where you were and saved you and put his name, put his name on your heart and put your name in the book. Hey, I thank God. I said, I thank God I've been saved by Jesus. Amen. I'm tired of the society we live in now, and nobody gets excited in church anymore. I grew up 18 years going to churches like that. It's like you're going to God's funeral. Everybody dead in there? You get more excited at a ball game than you do church. The average Baptist church now, giving little glasses of vinegar on your way, and here you go, coming in all fussy, mad at everything. Look here. How many you saved today? There's almost 8 billion people on this planet. And God lets you be born where you were and let you grow up where you were at and all the circumstances and the details. Listen, I was 18 years old. I was sprinkled as a baby. I was baptized 3 times. I was on my way to a place called hell. I had a football success, championship rings, college letters by the boxes all over my house. I had it up here but not here. But can I tell you something? One day, the Son of God, he saved my soul. He forgave you my sin. He took away my shame. He took away my guilt. And can I tell you something? I bless God for who he is. I bless God for what he does. Hallelujah. I bless God today for that. Number 3, I'm almost through. I bless God for the way he is. I bless God for who he is. I bless God for what he does. I bless God for the way he is. I'm telling you, I want this campus to be a bless God campus. I'm friends with many of y'all. I got an Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, and I follow everybody back. I want to hear in the next few weeks, man, our campus is the bless God campus now. Come on now, help me now. We need some of you young men to take a stand and say, you know what? When things get tough, I'm going to bless God. When the clouds come out, I'm still going to bless God. When I hear some negative news, I'm still going to bless God. I don't care what Fox News says, MSNBC says, CNN says, BVD. I don't care what they say, bless God. I'm going to bless God, amen. I mean, I'm just going to be thankful today and realize how good he's been to me and just bless him. And here's why, because of who he is. Here's why, because of what he does. And number 3, because of the way he is. I want you to look at Psalm 145 with me real quick. I'm almost, look at verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Why does he do that? Because that's just the way he is. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them the meat in the season. Why does he do that? Because that's just the way he is. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Why does he do that? Because that's just the way he is. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Why does he do that? Because that's just the way he is. The Lord is not on to call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Why? Because that's just the way he is. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Why? Because that's just the way he is. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Why? Because that's just the way he is. Why? God's got so much mercy. Why? Because that's just the way he is. God's a God of grace. Why? Because that's just the way he is. Why is God so merciful on the sinners? Because that's just the way he is. Why did God save me? Because that's just the way he is. Why did he come down and save this Gentile dog? Because that's just the way he is. Hey, why is he coming back someday? Because that's just the way he is. Why does he forgive me? Because that's just the way he is. Why does he bless me? Because that's just the way he is. Hey, I bless God. I bless God. I bless God for who he is. I bless God for what he does. And I bless God for the way he is. It's time to bless God. Number 4, and I'm done. Bless God. That's the statement. Bless God. You know what I love about this, Brother Lapina? It can get contagious. Watch what David says, and I'm through. I will extol thee, my God. I will. David said, I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to bless God. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. Ask my kids. On my phone and on our iPads, 3 or 4 times a day, something comes up on the screen. What comes up at certain times a day? Bless God. It's a reminder of me. We get busy. We got all these smartphones nowadays. They're smarter than I am. Somebody say amen right there. Actually, don't say amen right there. But anyway, they'll say, bless God. I'll bless God for a little while. Why don't we bless him every day? Isn't it sad that we have a religion called Islam that bows 5, 6, 7 times a day? They stop everything they're doing and bow down and worship. And we get so busy, we forget about the creator of the universe. We got to bless God every day. It's the same David that said at an evening, in the morning, and at noon, will I praise the Lord. Help me now. Watch it. David says, I don't care what y'all do. And by the way, Brother Randy's saying, I don't care what y'all do. I ain't going to lose 2 seconds sleep when anybody think about my preaching. I really won't. Because I ain't preaching for you, my friend. I'm preaching for God. But can I tell you something? It does get contagious. It gets contagious. Look here. I will extol thee. I will bless thy name. Verse 2. Every day will I bless thee. Uh-oh. Verse 4. One generation. Uh-oh. Starting to spread now. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. And then go back to David. I will speak. And you get down to verse 21. Look at verse 21 says, and I'm done. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. What are you saying, Brother Randy? I'm saying simply this. Bless God. Why is David called a man after God's own heart? I'm through. Is it because he was a warrior, a champion, stood for right when he needed to be stood? All those are good answers. But I believe it's simply this. David in all the Bible has probably came the closest to treating God like God treats us. In other words, if God could have a God that would bless him, he can't. He's God. David came the closest too, because David learned it's not about me. It's about God. He looked almost embarrassed at that hillside and said, guys, this guy is mocking your God and mocking our country. Are you kidding me? I'll fight him. But thou art but a youth. I don't care. It ain't about me. I want to protect his reputation today. And boy, you know what David did that day? Stay with me now. He made God look real good. Not just in the eyes of the Philistines, but all the army of Israel. Because a lot of us don't read the rest of the chapter. The Bible says that they went down and slew the Philistines, and they returned with spoils because David blessed God. Who's going to be the young man here that's going to bless God no matter what anybody does? See, I love the God bless part. I love having my hand like this and receiving his blessings. But sometimes we got to take down that one-way street and say, God, I know there's a whole lot more traffic coming this way. But sometimes I want to come up your lane, make it a two-way street, and turn my hand around and say, God, you've been so good to me. You've blessed me. Today, could I just bless you for a little while? Let's bless God. Head your bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well.